Good morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. We have a number of announcements this morning. First of all, look over here. We have a change today. Something unexpected happened this morning. Wanda fell and hurt her ankle, and she's on her way. She's at Frick Hospital, so hopefully it is not broken, and please say some prayers for Wanda. And we are very, very fortunate to have Heidi step in at the last minute, at a moment's notice.
And
so we will pray for Heidi today. But the numbers, I understand, for the music are going to be changed up a little bit, Heidi?
Oh, yeah. I'll
okay. So the numbers from your chimes will be a little bit different. And we certainly appreciate Heidi stepping in today. We have a number of other announcements. A little blue insert in your chimes today. That is for the dessert divine dessert competition, which is today, immediately after worship. And all kind of cookies, cakes, cupcakes, candy, desserts of all shapes and sizes will be there. The minister's office hours are on the back of the chimes. Work day is Tuesday, April 28th from 9 to 12. Extra hands are always needed for that. And the Last Supper video is on the church homepage. Also, if you want a CD, contact Reverend Chris. If you want a DVD, contact Ken Metzger. Okay, membership class begins today, April 24th. So hopefully we had some people that are wanting to become members of the church. Are there any other announcements? No? Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Thank you. The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our processional hymn is
number 323 in the red in the hymnal.
Okay, number 323 in the red hymnal. Please stand.
Thank you.
Our call to worship this morning is a responsive reading found in your chimes. Blessed be the Lord who has heard our cry for help.
The Lord is our strength and shield.
Our hearts trust in him and we are helped.
Our hearts leap for joy and we give thanks to the
Son. God will save his people.
God is our shepherd and carries us forever.
Let us pray. Others have offered us direction, but sometimes the instructions were not clear. Sometimes they were misleading and even deceptive. Others have invited us to follow, but they turned out to be false shepherds. So we come to you asking that you will lead us successfully through this wilderness until we find our true home. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offering. It is true for most of us, as it was for the psalm writer, that our cups overflow. Let us, as we present our offerings, share the bounty with others. Our offertory hymn is
number 66.
Number 66. In which one?
Mortal and
Divine. In the red?
In the red.
In a red hymnal.
Yeah. let them go to waste, or try to keep them for ourselves, or to use them to show off to others. Help us praise His good God to be generous, sharing His gratitude all you have given us. Amen.
The community proclaims the Word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning is Psalm, found in the Old Testament Pew Bible on page 582. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. And He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy winds fulfilling His command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people. Praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel are near to Him. Praise the Lord. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of our word. Our anthem this morning is still the same? Okay. It is I'd Rather Have Jesus by our sanctuary choir.
Good morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville, as we are reminded by the choir that the best thing to have is Jesus. As they sang, I'd rather have Jesus, I was thinking to myself that Jesus would rather have us than anything as well. So we give thanks for the songs, and we give thanks for the ways in which we are reminded of his steadfast love for us, and we give thanks for all the opportunities we have to share in that love and to share that love with others. As we gather this morning, it has been quite a day, and it's not even noon. We, of course, know that Wanda fell in the parking lot this morning. That's how our day began. We lift her into prayer. We give thanks that if you're going to fall anywhere, church is a good place, and in particular this church. There were a dozen people around her, not the least of which was our resident nurse, who was able to help her. Sharon Matthews followed her to Frick Hospital, the emergency room there, and is with her now. And we believe that hopefully it's not even a break. Hopefully it's just a sprain or a dislocation. We pray for her, but she was doing well as she left this morning. When realizing that she would not be able to play for us, I called Bruce and found out that he just had surgery on his eye for a detached retina. He said that he had gone half blind and was in need of that surgery. So let us add Bruce Bigham to our prayer list this morning. And we continue to pray and give thanks for Heidi, who's done a great job filling in, as she always does. We give thanks for all the members who have abilities and talents, and when called upon, use them in God's service. We give thanks for that. Also this morning, I found out that Maria had her baby. Camilla is her name, and she is at Uniontown Hospital today with Armando. Ask Juliet. She's very excited. Would love to tell you about her baby sister. So we give thanks to God, especially since Maria had been having some health problems, that all was well for her and her baby. We give thanks for that. Of course, we have our divine dessert competition coming this afternoon, so with a lot of excitement involving that, and all proceeds go to help the community food bank, community ministries. And as Gary mentioned before, we began our membership class today, and we had 5 kids, and we will have another one coming tomorrow and begin next week, so that on Pentecost, May 15th this year, we will baptize 6, not exactly children, but 6 new members of the body of Christ. So we rejoice. We rejoice over all that is happening. And even when difficult things happen, we rejoice that the church comes together to help and to support and to love one another. What joys and concerns do you have also to add this morning? Cheryl?
I want you to pray for Patricia's family. She lost her daughter to cancer. And Hannah's her granddaughter. And Lucy's her stepdaughter. So keep the family in prayer.
We'll pray for her family. We do give thanks that though she lost the battle with cancer, we know that her spirit was healed by God. And she will be viewed at Brooks on Tuesday, funeral on Wednesday. Yes. We will pray for the friend and for the child as well, all those involved. Thank you. Sonny? What is your mother's name? We'll pray for Darlene. Judy? It is nice. And again, thank you for sharing your gifts for God today as we gather to pray. Mike? We rejoice and glad to hear that Cliff is home and doing well. Also want to update you that Lena Hoag is at Harmon House and doing better there, but definitely in need of our prayers. And certainly cards, visitations, I believe she's in room 16, and if you need any more information, please let me know. I also was able to see Jeannie Kraft and Kim Kraft, and they're doing well. Jeannie had problems with medication and side effects, and they seem to have gotten to the bottom of that, and so she is doing better. Are there any others? for the family of David Hope. Sure, we pray for her. She travels. Lane's loose, too, as they travel. Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all that you have given us. Too many things to name, too many blessings to count. And so we simply say, thank you. Thank you for all that you are and all that you have made us. Thank you for what you are calling us to be. Thank you that you help to continue to prod us and push us and lead us and guide us, that we not be settled, not be satisfied with who we are today. And we give you thanks, Lord, that you have given us your word and you have given us your son and you have given us your spirit and you have given us your church and you have given us the power of prayer and all these things, that we may know that you are near and that we may know that if we wander from you, you never wander from us. And so we give thanks, but we turn to you also in our need. For you have what we need, even if we do not know what that is. Sometimes we pray for healing, sometimes we pray for answers, sometimes we pray for guidance, sometimes we simply need to be to pray for our eyes to be open to what you are doing. Help us in all of our needs. Small and large, but they all seem large to us. Help us to do what we must do, to love the way that we should love, to forgive what we must forgive. So that we have nothing between us and you, nothing between our spirits and your grace. But we know that it is not just about us. For we are called not to be individuals of Christ, but a body of Christ. Not just one, but many. And so we pray today not only for those who are gathered here, but also for those who are gathered in your name throughout the world. And those who cannot be here for very many reasons. We have lifted up the names on our hearts. Pat Stout, who is with you. Her family who mourns. David Hogue, who is with you, his family who mourns. Darlene, who is in the hospital, waiting for adjustments to her pacemaker. Her son, who is concerned. A friend who loves a child as if it is her own, but may have to give it up. We lift them all into your care. We know that we can't solve their problems necessarily. Some of them are now beyond our help, but none of them are beyond you. And we give you thanks that that is not possible. For through your Son, Jesus Christ, we are called to life and life eternal. And that the pains and difficulties and trials of this world will pass away, leaving us nothing but the joy of your eternal presence. But also that you are with us in the meantime, in the here and now, in the difficult moments of our life. But you're also with us in the joys. We have abundant joys today. We give thanks that Cliff is well and back to full speed. We give thanks for Ellen and Heidi who have stepped in when our dear friend Wanda has been incapacitated. We rejoice of the care that she received and the love that surrounded her. And we pray for her now as she is in the hospital. We give thanks for those who are traveling and the joys that they're experiencing. For Sharon and the Ainsleys and all those who are enjoying a time away, but also that they will return again and we will enjoy their presence as well. And Lord, we give you thanks for the birth of Camilla, a new flower in this world that you have given us. We rejoice with Armando and Maria. We give thanks for the health and well-being of mother and daughter. And we give thanks for the joy of Big Sister, who shares with us all her pride and her happiness. May this also be ours, that we may see ourselves as your children and see that you speak with us, speak of us and think of us with as much joy as an excitement as a new mother, a new big sister, a new father. And even when we disappoint, even when we frustrate, even when we do as we are not supposed to, always we know that your love is unfailing, your presence steadfast, your life eternal. So for this, above all things, we rejoice and give you thanks and say, Amen. The children come forward for the junior sermon. Come on down, come on down. Good to see you all. Lots of kids today. All right. We're coming from all over. Lots of good seats still available. Okay. Any room? How are y'all today? How are you all today? Schools can't be much longer, right? Wait. Breaking news, how many? 27 days, not that you're counting. All right. So you should be excited, Do you have big plans for the summer? Sleeping, that's a great plan for the summer. Doing nothing, a whole lot of nothing you've got to cram into the whole summer. Yes, wait, yes. You're going to go somewhere? Yeah? Hey, Ian, do you go to school right now? Every day is like summer for you. That's great. Okay. Are you guys going to make any soup this summer? Because I'll talk to you about some soup. What is your favorite kind of soup? Tomato? None. Wedding? Macaroni? Oh. Wedding soup? How many of you like stone soup? Stone soup is my favorite soup. Stone soup is my favorite soup. Do you guys like stone soup? Ruth, you like stone soup? Yeah? All right. Have any of you ever had stone soup before? You wouldn't think that stones would be a good thing that you could make soup out of. No, but I got it right up here. Well, it is. Let me tell you a story about these two men who made some soup out of stones. In my story, there were two, but thank you. You may have heard it differently. There were two men who came to a village, and they wanted to make some soup, but they didn't have anything. In fact, actually, they were very hungry, and they had nothing. But they said, hey, we can make some stone soup. Now, would you make soup out of stones? You can make it out of carrots, out of potatoes, out of broccoli, out of noodles. But stones? Stones aren't something you can eat. Here's what they did. They said they set up some fire, and they got a pot, and they got some water. Okay? That's what they started with. And they started boiling it. And some people said, hey, what are you doing? And they said, we're making stone soup. And they said, stone soup? That's crazy. They said, no. Look, we've got these beautiful stones. And we're going to put them in there. And we're going to have in a couple hours this fantastic soup. So they started, and they worked on it. And people looked at that and said, that's interesting. That doesn't seem right. But the men said, you know what? They said, people said, do you make stone soup often? And they said, yes, but you know, usually we like to have some salt and pepper to really make it good. And one person said, I have some salt, I have some pepper, I'll go get it. So the one person went to their house, they got salt and pepper, they put it in the soup. Okay? Would you eat this now? Water, salt, pepper, stones. No? Okay. So they're making it, and it's boiling. And then the one man said, you know, I like to have carrots in my stone soup. I think that's really good. And this other person over here said, oh, I have some carrots in my garden. And so she ran and she went to the garden and she got the carrots, washed them off, chopped them up, put them in the soup. Is it good yet? Okay, you're ready to eat. Well, they weren't ready to eat because another guy said, I think some potatoes would go really well in that. And so, guess what? Well, one person just happened to have two potatoes left in their pantry, so they went and got it, chopped them up, washed them off, put them in the soup. So now, it's starting to take shape, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, you're going to take the rock out first. Yes, the rocks are there for flavor. But you know what? Listen, you know what? The rocks aren't really there at all. I mean, the rocks don't really have any purpose at all. They're just there. The whole point is, as the story goes on, people kept saying, oh, this is good, but it would be better if it had some oregano. And they're like, oh, I've got some in my shelf. So they got that. Or what else? What else?
Pizza.
Not pizza. I mean, bacon. Sorry, not ants. Come on. Time and time. See, people came up with some idea of a new idea of an ingredient they would like, and they thought, oh, I've got that. And so here's the thing. Listen, the whole thing was kind of a trick. Because at the end, you know what they did? They took the stones out, and they were left with a soup that had all these amazing ingredients. So please stop. Okay? And they did this because they knew that all the people had food. They had, one person had this ingredient, one person had that, one person had carrots, one person had potatoes, one person had salt, one person had pepper. And by themselves, they were not very good, but when they put them together, they made it great. But the people were a little bit reluctant to work together. Once they saw this going, they thought, oh, I can do that. Now, that's why stone soup is so great. It doesn't taste like stones, but it's the idea of people coming together to make something great. So why do I talk to you about this today? Because that is about sharing, right? And it's about the church, too. Okay? You can call the church Stone Church, kind of. Because when we have this service, we do all these different things, and there's so many things that happen, but not one person can do it. And I preach, and somebody else makes the communion, and somebody else prints the bulletins, and somebody's down in the nursery, and someone teaches upstairs in junior church, and someone plays the organ. Did you notice that our organist is not here today? She had an accident, so she's at the hospital getting better. In the meantime, we had someone else fill in. And everybody in the church has an ingredient to bring. Not salt and pepper, but kindness, music, helping, cooking. We are going to have an awesome dessert this afternoon. Yeah. Dessert. It's dessert. So in the church, we all do our part, and we all offer our own ingredient, and it makes it better. Okay? So I hope next time you have some soup, you'll remember that. It's always best the more people who help. Okay? Thank you. You can go to your class. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 33. And that's found on page 15 of the New Testament portion of your Bible. I don't know if you need to read along. It's just one verse. Here it goes. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and hid with three measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It doesn't really seem fair. I gave Gary the nice long psalm, and then I just gave myself one verse. This is easily the shortest passage I've ever preached on. At some point, I'm going to preach on, you know, Jesus wept. Right? The shortest verse in the entire Bible. And then maybe we'll get out a little early. I'll do that on a Steeler early game day in the fall. But this is the shortest verse I ever preached on. It's the shortest verse because it is the shortest parable that Jesus teaches. It occurs in the middle of an entire section of parables. He just starts reeling them off. The kingdom of God is like. And then another one. The kingdom of God is like a woman who lost a coin. The kingdom of God is like a shepherd who lost a sheep. The kingdom of God is like a woman who hid yeast and 3 measures of dough. He also talked about the mustard seed. But the parable of the yeast stands out on its own, not only for its brevity, but also for its stunning wordplay. In regards to the brevity, it is proof that sometimes the less that is said, the better. For this one sentence leaves so much unsaid that the reader must finish it themselves. They are tricked into actively listening in order to make any sense of his teaching. For in a normal parable, Jesus would say that the kingdom of heaven is like A, and then he would give some explanation as to why. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who lost a coin. She searched until she found it. Usually there's an action, and there's a reaction. The lost are searched for and found. The wounded are healed. The prodigal is welcomed back. But this parable has no such resolution. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. What does the woman do with the bread? What happens next? We don't know, and apparently it doesn't matter. The point has already been made. To say any more is to take away from the parable's meaning. Like a riddle, a koan, one of those things that are said, if a tree falls in the wood, and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? Something for you to think about and ponder long after Jesus has left. Sometimes small things get our attention better than large things. Walking through the woods, once I stopped to marvel at an inchworm that was more like a quarter inchworm, and it was dangling from a silken thread from a leaf. Now, this is about the tiniest thing you could possibly imagine, a forest filled with mighty trees near mountains, and yet something about it caught my eye, and I remember it still to this day. The smallest thing caught my attention because it stood in contrast to its surroundings. Trees were a dime a dozen, as were leaves and rocks, stones, and big things. But this tiny little worm, dangling from a string, stood out. Well, this parable likewise stands in contrast to the parable of the tares, or the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, or the Sermon on the Mount, or the accounts of the Last Supper, and Jesus' crucifixion. They are long stories, beautiful stories, powerful stories. They have many lessons to learn in them. It would be easy for this parable to be lost in the midst of all the others. Have you ever read or heard the Gettysburg Address? One of the greatest presidential speeches, one of the greatest speeches ever, really. One of the shortest. Less than 1,000 words. To the point that when President Lincoln finished and sat down, people were confused. They did not think that he could possibly be done. It took 10 minutes to give the speech, significantly shorter than the speech that was given before it. Can anybody remember the name of the man who spoke before President Lincoln, or the name of his speech? It's there if you want to look it up, but none of us know it on the top of our head. The speech before is not remembered, but Lincoln's speech is. Not only because it was short, but because it was short and meaningful. Let's emphasize that as well. I mean, it would be very easy for somebody to go into Heidi's class and say, "Yes, you gave me an assignment for a 10-page essay, but Reverend Stillwell said the shorter the better." No, it must be short and meaningful. So let that be a lesson to us. Sometimes we can say too little by saying too much. But by saying so little, Jesus says so much. Sort of like yeast itself. For a loaf of bread goes from a small flat dough to a big hearty loaf because of a few small flakes. You've seen unleavened bread, what we have at communion, how thin that is. You've seen perhaps the bread that we use at the Last Supper that Jackie makes. Again, not much thicker than a cracker. And you have seen big, fluffy, beautiful loaves of bread. All because of the yeast and the way it works within the dough. And you've seen yeast itself, again, just flakes, just small little flakes. Add too much, though, and you'll ruin the taste of the bread. You'll ruin the consistency of the bread. You will ruin the bread. Add just a little, and the dough is transformed. It rises, it increases its size, it increases its flavor. And so because of this, you would think that yeast would be a perfect illustration for Jesus to use. After all, it is as basic a concept as there is. Give us this day our daily bread. We know bread more than just about anything else. His audience would have known bread. Every day, they would have had to work to make bread. And if you know bread, then you know yeast. It is something with which his audience will be familiar. But that is precisely what might have astonished his people to hear Jesus compare something as extraordinary, so out of this world, as the kingdom of God, something as base and common as yeast. And also, the people who were familiar with it, they also, well, what they knew of it sometimes was not good. I mean, of course, they needed it to leaven their bread. It was good in that regard. But another word for yeast is leaven, and to add yeast to bread is to leaven it. Thus, the bread that is eaten at Passover meal in honor of escaping the armies of Pharaoh is unleavened bread, because that meal recalls that the Israelites were in such a hurry to escape to Egypt that they had no time to add yeast to their bread. But also, there are 44 mentions of yeast in the Old Testament, and each one refers to it as a negative, usually instructing the people to eat bread without the yeast. And then you get to the New Testament, and the first mention of the yeast is this verse, and it is a positive thing. Really about as positive as it can be. Positively godly. It's not that attitudes have changed. The word yeast still had pejorative connotations, as evidenced by Jesus later warning his followers to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. For in that example, yeast is unseen evil that gets into things and corrupts it. So this parable, which appears so simple and harmless, was to some degree controversial, or at least confusing. And Jesus knew it and always does. The goal here is not to offend or to shock or to make it so that people don't understand, but to get them to think. The goal here is not to change the observance of the Passover meal, as evidenced by our communion meal and the way that Jesus observed it. Instead, the point is to get people to question the inherited wisdom, to question the things they had thought before or just assumed. In many ways, that is the point of all the parables. The conventional wisdom of Jesus' day stated that those who were righteous prospered and those who were wicked did not. It claimed that God protected all of his followers and punished their enemies. It argued that the sick were being punished by God for some sin, and only the priest could talk to God or intervene on behalf of the people. If all of this was true, then the only conclusion an observant and faithful Israelite could come to is that this man, Jesus, who ate with sinners and outcasts, who was crucified and whose followers were persecuted, was clearly not the Messiah. But he is. He is the Son of God, because the kingdom of God is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. Through this one single verse, Jesus uses the illustration of yeast to teach his audience a number of things that they will need to know in order to understand and interpret the coming events. Remember, the course of the story is spoken before his crucifixion and resurrection. Things that were coming in 2 months' time or 2 years' time, and those that would be coming in 2,000 years' time. First, he was trying to teach them that the growth of the kingdom is not always seen. Sometimes things seem awful. Sometimes the things that we see discourage us, make us question why, or want to give up hope. Persecutions take place. Tragedies occur. Stuff happens, as some people have put it. Of course, the worst example of this is Jesus himself being killed. It would seem that because Christ was gone, that the kingdom was no longer growing, had stopped, was ended, was no longer near. But remember, woman hid yeast in the meal, just as Christ was hid in the tomb. Or Christ is hid from us now in heaven, so to speak. Just because we do not see God, just because we do not see Jesus, just because we do not see how things are working, does not mean that the growth has stopped. Does not mean that the yeast is still working in the bread. Does not mean that the Spirit is still working in the world. While Jesus' disciples were heartbroken, the yeast of God was working until one day, When the yeast expected it, Christ was alive. The bread of life had risen. Let us always remember this when things look bleak. Secondly, we must know that the kingdom of God is irresistible. Once you mix the yeast in the bread, once you hide the yeast in the dough, you can't take it out, even if you wanted to. How would you separate it? How would you stop it? All that remains is to enjoy the end result. Likewise, once God's Spirit is mixed into the world, I don't know how you stop it, even if you wanted to. All that remains is to enjoy the result. And thirdly, we see from this parable that the kingdom transforms. The kingdom does not come and look just as everything was before, nor does it knock away everything or burn away everything and then come new. It takes what is there and transforms it into something greater than before. The growth may seem slow and gradual, but the final result is not just an incremental change or a small improvement. It's something far greater than before. It's bigger and it's better. It's tastier and it smells a lot better too. If we see this nowhere else, let us see that the yeast of faith that God mixes in us will transform us at the point of our death when it seems that nothing will be able to help us. Also, we should learn that the kingdom of God is abundant. Jesus says that the woman hid the yeast in 3 measures of meal, which could feed as many as 150 people. She was not making food for herself or her family. She was making a feast. It might as well have been enough to feed 1,000 people for how little bread Jesus' followers would have had likely at that time. And we should know, therefore, that the yeast that is mixed into the bread of life will never run out. The world preaches scarcity, but Jesus preaches abundance. Indeed, our cup runneth over. And finally, we must know that all things, even the kingdom of God, especially the kingdom of God, comes in God's own time. For we get used to things happening so quickly, and technology has driven that point home to us in ways in which past generations could never have imagined. We want it now. But nothing can bring the kingdom faster. A watched pot never boils. Watched bread does not rise. Nothing can make it happen until it is time. The yeast must do its work, and when it's done, it will be done. When my mother made bread, it smelled so good. I was always asking when it was ready. I couldn't wait to get a taste of it, and I would ask her again and again and again when it would be ready, and she would say, "It will be ready when it's done." Honestly, that's what she would say about every dinner. It'll be ready when it's done. And don't you know, she was right every time. When it was done, it was ready. When it was ready, it was done. It's true of bread. It is true of the kingdom of God. It would be nice if the other qualities of baking bread also applied to the kingdom as well. It's not an allegory. Parables are not allegories where everything of one thing is attributable to the next. It would be nice if the kingdom, we could smell it and we could taste it. It would be a wonderful way to know that it's coming and that it's getting ready. It would be great if we could sample it, have a little taste here and there, take a little bite of the bread to know how close it is to being done, but Jesus can only fit so much into one verse. For the time being, it is up for us to take notice, up to us to take notice of the little signs around us that the yeast is still at work, and one day its work will be done. One day the kingdom will be ready. The woman's bread will be leavened. God's kingdom will surely come. Until that day, let us enjoy wait. We know that something special is on its way. Something wonderful is on its way. We taste and see that God is good, and therefore the kingdom must be good too. Amen. And now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. So we sing our communion hymn, which is?
When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, number 195.
195 in the Chalice Hymn.
Thank you. I did not used to enjoy going grocery shopping very much until I discovered Costco. And it isn't so much that you can go there and get a container of animal crackers that is this big, nor is it the large piece of pizza and a Coke for $2. It's the fact that when you go, especially if you go at the right time on Saturdays, there are samples everywhere. I mean, grocery shopping, all shopping is so much better that when you get to every aisle, there's a new thing to taste and to see if you like, and sometimes you may buy them. We actually have this routine. Whenever we go to the mall, we go to the food court where there are two places that are always handing out samples. We go that one, go around to the next one. Then we go down to Le Gourmet Chef. That's the place where they have 100 different dips, and they sample that. I don't know if I've ever bought anything from Le Gourmet Chef, but I have sampled their food a great deal. Now, the idea of a sample is that they set it out there, and you try it, and you may buy something that you otherwise would not have. And they must work, because lots of places do them, and they have to give away a lot of food before people purchase. But there also is limits. When I worked at Panera Bread, we would always sample bread out at the entranceway. And there was a lady who had a deep purse. She always would come by and gather them up. We always had to watch for her. You can only take so much. You have to leave some for others as well. But I mention that because as we gather at the table, it is like a sample day every Sunday. For here, we offer a sample, not of our finest juice or our finest wafer. It is a sample of God's mercy, forgiveness, and grace. It's not much of a meal, we know that. But we gather here because of the hint that it is for what is to come. We come here to sample the mercy of God that we need, to sample the grace of Jesus Christ, who is the only one who offers it for us. And we know that if we like it, anytime, anywhere, we can have more. There is no limit to this grace. There are no limits to these samples. But we hope that as we share in this meal, that not only will we come back next week for more, but others will want it as well. For we know that at this table, all things are free. Even though the one who provided it for us paid a hefty price. It is a sample of grace and a sample of mercy and a sample of forgiveness that is offered to all people at all times and all places. And again, there are no limits. So let us share in this meal this morning and let us continue to ask for more to the one who will never say no and never turn us away. And let us let others know where they may find it as well. And now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to this table each week in gratitude and in recognition of all that you have done for us. We are grateful for your never-ending grace and mercy. Help us to follow not only your example, but the example of your Son, Jesus, as we try to live our lives in loving service to you. Amen.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after having blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is shed for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." As often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Thank you.
now the community responds to the Word of God. If any gather here wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing our invitational hymn, which is
340, softly and tenderly.
340. Let us stand as we sing. Before we bow our heads for the benediction, I'd just like to remind you of the divine dessert competition that awaits us in the Fellowship Hall. Very similar to the soup competition, you will sample first, vote for your favorite, and then have items to purchase to take home. All money raised goes to help community ministries. Now let's bow our heads for the benediction. Christ is our peace, so live as people of peace, breaking down the walls of separation, living together as one body, united in love and in purpose, through him and for him.